You'll open your Bibles with me, please, to the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We come to the inner sanctuary of this book. The book rises to a peak in this passage that is unsurpassed in any other portion of the Word of God. All the teaching that flows to this peak in the first 6.5 chapters, and all that flows out of this truth in chapters 8 to the end of the book, all rest upon this foundation. To do justice to this passage of Scripture, we ought to take about 6 weeks and move more carefully and more slowly through the passage. We've chosen instead this morning to deal with the passage in the whole. It is an argument. It is a complete argument. And it begins for us in chapter 7, verse 11. Let me read with some degree of freedom and elaboration the rest of the chapter. Listen to the argument. Let your heart thrill this morning that these statements made about our Savior Jesus Christ are true. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were possible through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need could there be that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For since the priesthood has been changed, of necessity, there must also be a change in the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus arose from the tribe of Judah, not Levi, of which tribe Moses in the law spoke nothing concerning priesthood. It is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises a different priest who has come not according to the principle of a fleshly, physical commandment, but has come into his priesthood according to the power of an endless life. And this is supported by God's own testimony when he said, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." You see, on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law system made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we who believe in Jesus Christ are drawing near to God. And inasmuch as Jesus was not made priest without an oath, for they, the Levitical priests, have become priests without an oath, but he, Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek priesthood, with an oath became priest, an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a guarantor to us of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests under the Levitical system because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who are coming to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting, or was made, or became for us, who is holy, who is harmless, who is undefiled, who is separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests under the Levitical system needed, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this sacrifice for sin business, he did once for all. He did that when he offered up himself. The law, in its system of appointing high priests, appointed men who have weaknesses. But the system that was appointed by the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son of God himself, who has been perfected forever as our high priest. Pardon the liberties taken from reading of that passage of scripture, but I wanted you to see the flow of the argument. This is a fundamental passage of scripture. It argues that since God announced through David 1,000 years before Jesus was born, when David wrote Psalm 110, in that psalm, God announced that Messiah would serve in a priesthood that would be fashioned after an order different than the Levitical order. You remember last week, we looked at the first several verses of this chapter where we met Melchizedek, and we discovered that he met Abraham. And this was before the law was given. This was before Levi was born. This was before the Old Testament system of sacrifices had been instituted. This is back 600 years before the first son, Aaron, son of Levi, offered the first sacrifice in the tabernacle in the wilderness at the base of Mount Sinai. David, writing of the power of the Holy Spirit, said two things about Messiah in that psalm. In the first verse of Psalm 110, he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And you remember, that's the passage Jesus cited that silenced his critics just before his arrest. Because that psalm insists that the son of David, who would sit upon David's throne, was also called Lord by David. Thus, the humanity and the deity of Messiah is affirmed by God in Psalm 110 as the basis of Jesus' claim to be king of the Jews. But that same psalm goes on in verse 4 and says that God would appoint, "I have sworn in my wrath and will not recant. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And the writer, taking that psalm, is now showing that in the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, since that has been established, since Jesus Christ is right now in heaven, the high priest of a new system of worshiping God, that means that the old system is no longer valid. Note with me several things from this chapter that may give you a point of, or give me a point of, understanding what's being said. Look with me, please, at the impact of this change, the change from the order of Levi to the order of Melchizedek. Notice verse 12 and 14. It says there that the Lord Jesus Christ, being a priest, does not fit in the system that was required under the law. There, only the sons of Levi, through the family of Aaron, could be high priest. But Jesus was not born of the Levitical order. He was not of the family of Aaron. He was born of the tribe of Judah and traces his lineage back to Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Therefore, Jesus is either disqualified from being priesthood or, as the psalmist tells us, his priesthood is a totally different order. Since it is of a different order, that affects the law. You see it in verse 12? Since the priesthood has been changed by Jesus' appointment after the order of Melchizedek, of necessity, there is also a change regarding the law. The law does not describe what Jesus is doing. Jesus is outside that system. A whole new system of priesthood has been inaugurated by the Lord Jesus, and that impacts the law. And that's clearly spoken in verse 18, where the writer says, on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weaknesses and unprofitableness. God has set aside the Old Testament law system he delivered at Mount Sinai. That is a sweeping change. That is a radical change. And the author is saying that when God supernaturally established Jesus Christ as his high priest in a different order of priesthood, that signals to us that the old priestly system, which is called in verse 16, the law of a fleshly commandment, that system of priesthood is set aside. God started something new, something different with Jesus. Notice in verse 11 the reason for this change. Therefore, if perfection were available through the Levitical priesthood, why would you need a different kind of priesthood, the priesthood of Melchizedek? Why? The answer is succinctly stated in verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. Take a breath. What the argument says is that the whole Old Testament system of God creating a way whereby the people of Israel could come to him through the mediation of priests and sacrifice and offerings in the tabernacle and later the temple, that whole system could not make the worshiper, the one who is coming to the priest with his sacrifice and offering, the one who is coming to the place of worship, intending to worship the true God, that system stood between the worshiper and God. He, the worshiper, couldn't get to God through that system. That system made no one perfect, even the high priest, who function in the role of heading up that whole system. That is a major change. To understand who Jesus is today and what he's doing in heaven as your high priest, you need to look somewhere beyond the Old Testament sacrificial system. And to experience the perfection that Jesus offers to those who are followers of him, to experience that perfection, you can't get it keeping the Old Testament law. Won't work. This is a brand new radical change in how God invites people to come to Him. Notice the last part then of verse 18. The law made nothing perfect. End of verse 18. It was weak. It was unprofitable. It couldn't accomplish the goal of bringing a sinner into the immediate presence of Almighty God. It couldn't do that. Now, it had a purpose, we'll see in future Sundays. But it couldn't do that. Under the Old Testament system, David could not become perfect. Under the Old Testament system, Moses could not become perfect. However, that goal of perfection and that offer of perfection is available to those who come to God through Jesus Christ as their high priest. The last part of verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. It's been set aside. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw nigh to God. That's what perfection is. The word perfection here has to do with completeness. And something is complete when it is accomplishing its intended purpose. The meal is complete when everything that the cook promised has been prepared and is on the table and you're invited to come eat. That's a perfect meal. And you are complete and perfect when you accomplish in your life that for which your Creator intended you to experience. And what is that? It's to know God. It's to experience God. It's to be made like Him, transformed, changed, so that you become a new person, and that new person answers back to God and responds to God's grace, to God's enablement, so that you fellowship with God, and so that God Himself transforms you from the inside out and makes you just like the Lord Jesus. That's perfection. And that was not available, that was not possible under the Levitical system. Now, the author goes on to compare and contrast these two systems. Over here is the Levitical system, sanctioned by the law, prescribed and directed by the law God gave at Mount Sinai. It had physical functions. It had rites and rituals of cleansing, of dieting, of clothing, of behavior, all specified. And it functioned in a ritual where the high priest himself once a year went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, where only he could go, and there offer a sacrifice and atonement for the sins of the people who were outside the temple. They couldn't come in the temple. Only the priests were allowed in the temple. And they only in the first quarter, the second quarter, or the back quarter, only the high priest could win once a year. Now, that system, contrasted with the system of access to God that is ours through Jesus Christ. Note these differences. In verse 16, we are told that in the old system, it functioned after fleshly commandments, and that was the problem. The problem wasn't that the law was not good. The problem was the sin nature of man. The law functioned in physical things, but it couldn't get to the heart. It couldn't change the soul. It couldn't change the inner nature of the worshiper. He remained distant from God, and while his sins could be covered, atoned, by God's grace through the system, his sins couldn't be absolutely carried away. It required a different sacrifice than that system was. It was the law of fleshly ordinances. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 16, his priesthood functions according to the power of an endless life. His priestly system operates on the basis of life. He gives life, a whole new kind of life, to those who come to God through him. That's the difference. One was fleshly and temporal, the old system. This system that Jesus installs functions after the power of an endless life. We've already seen verse 18 and 19, where the law, that system, made nothing perfect or complete. The worshiper is still outside the Holy of Holies where God is. He can't get God into the Holy of Holies. He can only be represented by the high priest who goes in, and he can only go in once a year. There's still distance between the worshiper and God. It can't make the worshiper perfect. On the other hand, through what the Lord Jesus Christ does as our priest, the last part of verse 19, this priesthood of Jesus Christ brings a better hope, through which hope we draw nigh to God. As an individual believer, you don't need a priest on this earth. You don't need a confessor on this earth. Matter of fact, they're going to do you more harm than good. Through the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, since he is in heaven, you have a hot line to heaven, Christian. Your access is directly to God. You draw nigh to God. Or to use the analogy of the Old Testament, you don't stand out here waiting for a physical priest to perform functions of sacrifice on your behalf, waiting for the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies. You don't do that. You walk through the whole system. You go through the veil. You go into the very Holy of Holies and meet God face to face. So the high priestly ministry of Jesus is infinitely superior to that of the Old Testament Levitical system. In the third place, according to verse 21 and 28, the argument is that the Old Testament systems became, the Old Testament priests became priests simply because they were born in a certain family. You had to be born a descendant of Aaron. That's the only way you could ever become high priest. No one else need apply. They were not eligible. But according to the Psalm 110, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That is, Jesus became your high priest, Christian friend, through the oath of God. And the oath of God not only declared that he would be priest, but that he would be priest forever. Forever. The priests under the Levitical system died. Always changing. The high priest was continually changing. And some people who filled that role were terrible people, like Caiaphas in the New Testament and others that you'll find in the Old Testament. They were despicable people. They were unworthy. And yet they formed the function and performed the function of high priest because they had family connections. Whereas with the Lord Jesus Christ, he is called a high priest forever. He never has to change. That leads us then to verse 24. Since he lives forever, verse 24, he has an unchangeable priesthood, an indestructible priesthood. No one and nothing is ever going to change or destroy my access to God's presence through Jesus Christ. Nothing. He lives forever. That's, it says later, it's because he lives forever, verse 24. He lives forever. He always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 25, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The power of an endless life. So our access to God through faith in Jesus Christ is immediate, permanent, changeless, indestructible. You don't need an earthly priest. The next difference is that Jesus Christ, according to verse 27, in his priestly ministry, doesn't daily offer sacrifices for sin like the Old Testament priestly system had to. Like, frankly, the religious priestly systems of the religions around us have to. They have to continually go back, sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. But not with Jesus. Verse 27. Jesus does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. This he did once for all when he delivered up himself. So the issue of sacrifice for sin is over and done. Jesus doesn't have to die again. In his one death, he covered all sins so that every sinner can have full forgiveness and access to God through Jesus Christ. He lives forever, and the sacrifice is done. And finally, in verse 28, under the Old Testament system, the law appointed high priests who were weak men. Some of them were very corrupt men. Very corrupt men. And yet they served as high priests in a system that was designed to work after the flesh. But Jesus Christ, by the law or by the principle of the oath of God, has been made a high priest in a system in heaven. And he who is appointed, according to verse 28, is the Son of God who has been perfected forever. Okay, so what's all this got to do with us? Here's the bottom line. God doesn't want you just to go to heaven when you die. And God doesn't want you just to feel good about yourself while you live. God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ is arranged so that you can know that you are saved and that your sins have been totally forgiven, and you can be delivered from the power and habit of those sins as you look to Jesus Christ and experience his priestly ministry for you in heaven. And that priestly ministry in heaven has nothing to do with repeating bloody sacrifices for sin. That's been done. And the Son, Jesus Christ, who took your place and died in your place for your sin, not only finished the work of salvation, but he sits at the right hand of God, perfected. He is our hero. He is our model. And in Scripture, we are called to draw nigh to God that we might become like him. Perfect, complete. He is the model of what that looks like. What the writer is trying to do is to say to you and me, Christians, you got a better deal than you could ever understand. You got a deal with God through Jesus Christ that is foolproof, changeless, indestructible, dynamic, and real. And because of who Jesus Christ is and what he did and what he's doing for you now, you are guaranteed not only eternal salvation, but you are drawn by him as you focus upon him. You are drawn by him into the very courtroom of God. You have immediate access through Jesus Christ into the very Holy of Holies, and his work goes both ways. He speaks to the Father on your behalf and represents you as your lawyer. And when you fail, he argues the efficacy of his sacrifice for your sins, his death payment for your sins. He is there interceding to God on your behalf. On our behalf, he is mediating to us the life, the truth, the power, the fellowship, the relationship, the very nature of God is mediated through him back to us by his Spirit. So that we are no longer distant from God. There is nothing now that can separate us from God. There is nothing to keep us from going right into the very presence of the Lord God of the universe, crawling up on his lap and saying, Dad. And having him smile with deepest affection, appreciation, look into your eyes and say, My child. Incredible. Heaven isn't something we hope someday to possibly experience. Heaven is this moment, realizing and experiencing the truth of Jesus Christ as my high priest and appropriating all of that to my heart directly with God. Heaven is when I finish this life going to his place to continue fellowship with him, to continue to enjoy him. And maturity or completeness, perfection is realizing that I now am disconnected from this world around me. I am not dependent upon its resources, religious or non-religious, that I am a child of God. And that I can, with instant activation, instantly step into his presence, receive his strength. I can go to the throne of grace with boldness and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Why? Because of who Jesus is, the Son of God, perfected, completed forever. And I am in him, and he is in the presence of God, and he is my mediator. I think of the words of hymn number 268. Would you turn there, please? 268. The writer in Hebrews says, He, God, Jesus Christ, is able to save to the uttermost. That means to the farthest extent, to the completely, that he is able to save to the uttermost anyone, all who come to God by him, who draw nigh to God through Jesus Christ, through his merits, through his benefit. If you're trying to please God through some other way, you're not going to make it. Your best efforts are only going to lead to failure and frustration. But if you will come to God through faith in Jesus Christ and receive him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, accept his gift of being your priest in the very presence of God, then you don't need to go through the saints. You don't need to go through Mary. You don't need to go through any earthly priest, any religious system here on earth. You've got the straight shot to the heart of God because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Songwriter says it well, hymn 268. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. What's he saying? He's saying that I can stand in the midst of the cosmos and with confidence lift my face to the face of my Father because I am dressed in Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what he's saying. Incredible. Bold shall I stand in that great day. What day? The day of coming judgment. Day of death. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved, through these I am from sin and fear and guilt and shame. What's he saying? He's saying because of Jesus' blood and righteousness being appropriated to me, I can face God fully absolved from sin, from fear, from guilt, from shame. Wow. That's what Hebrews is teaching. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead, for me, even for my soul was shed. What's he saying? Your blood satisfied the Father's righteousness and secured for me an eternal forgiveness of sins, which is in no way dependent upon my performance. Wow. Whew. Lord, I believe those sinners more than sands upon the seashore, thou hast for all. If there's as many sinners in the universe as there are grains of sand upon the seashore and upon the deserts of the world, if there are that many sinners, God, you have for all those sinners a ransom paid. For all those sinners, you have full atonement made. I feel like I want to shout. Wow, look at me. I'm God's child. I am his life. I'm forgiven sin. I have access to him. I stand in God's presence as perfect, as complete, as righteous as Jesus Christ, because he is my priest and he mediates all those benefits to me. Wow. Incredible. I don't know who's mediating for you and who you're trusting to make access to God available for you. But if it's not Jesus, I can tell you it's going to fail. Even the Old Testament system with the law, Sinai, temple, sacrifices, even that system could make nothing perfect. Nothing. But Jesus does. Lord Jesus, you are my high priest. Through you, I have access to the very throne of God. I am at peace with God, and God is at peace with me. My sins are forever, eternally, completely forgiven. I'm given your righteousness. Nothing can ever go wrong. Yours is an indestructible, unchanging priesthood. You are my representative. What a deal. What a deal. And oh, friend, as you listen to my voice, if you don't have a share in that deal, if you have not come to God through Jesus Christ and opened your heart and asked him to come in and be your Lord and Savior, trust me, there is no plan B. There is no other, no other way of salvation, none. And those of us who have by faith come to Jesus Christ and embraced him, the word of Hebrews is, come on in, draw nigh to God, come into his presence. Let nothing keep you away. And learn to live, to love, learn to think, and to choose based upon what he is and what you are in him. So, Father, give us holy, holy disgust for our habits of pet sins and attitudes that are wrong. Cleanse us by your Spirit and make us whole. What a deal. Thank you.